some reason, I like that guy. I'm trying to figure out why. But we are grateful. We're just grateful to be here. I don't know. I really did not come to preach. But what was it he said? Be instant, in season, out of season. So if it don't go well to this morning, just blame him. Praise God. I appreciate Brother Ryan Ralston. He came and preached our homecoming last year and will again this year in September. And we appreciate not only him, the church here. And I'm not old, but I am older. And I preached here when Brother Butler was down on 49th Street, Avenue, whatever it was down there. We had a great time. And, you know, time gets away from us. I planned on getting older, but I didn't know it was going to come as quick. But we are here. And not coming prepared to preach. I just go back in the archives and pick out something. And so y'all just had to put up with it. I'm grateful for the Lord and what he's done for us. You can be turning to the book of Joshua this morning, chapter 24. Amen. Got my chair? All right. What I'm going to talk to you about this morning is nothing new. I preached this message probably 25, 30 years ago. Some of my preacher friends picked up on it and made a few variations, and they tried it. I don't know how it worked for them. Sometimes it works and sometimes it don't. Sometimes you think you got it and you don't. Sometimes you think you don't and you got it. So that's just the way it is. In the 24th chapter of Joshua, we're going to read verse 1, and then we're going to skip down a few verses, and then we'll go over to Judges chapter 2. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. Verse 16, and the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Verse 21, and the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And verse 26, and Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us, and it shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man to his own inheritance. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-serah, which is in the Mount Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gaash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived or outlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. Amen. The words of Paul Harvey now for the rest of the story. Judges chapter 2, verse 6. When Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man to his inheritance to possess the land, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. They buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, in the mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gaash. Now, here's the crux. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Amen. You may be seated up. The Lord help us, I'd like to share a few thoughts with you this morning from these verses. Let me just take my time here and just get started. You understand? You preachers understand, don't you? If you are satisfied with the way you are and what you are, you'll probably not understand much that I've got to say this morning. I think all of us have room to improve. Amen. I remember hearing that lawyer preacher, amen, he said, you cannot become what you need to be by remaining what you are. I hear people say, I'm an average Christian. Now, wait a minute. Paul Harvey, years ago when he was living, I heard him. I used to try to listen to him pretty regular. He gave the definition of average: 1 degree above lousy. Now, I want to be more than just an average Christian. Matter of fact, I'd like to be more than just an average preacher. I'd like to be more than just an average husband. Amen. We're living in a generation now that, you know, we got an easy believism. You just believe it. Don't matter what you do or how you do or where you live, how you live. But I want to tell you this morning, and if Brother Roy Horton was alive, he had a saying, if you can't remember it, write it down. And there is a fine line between intellectualism with charisma and the unction with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to tell you, we've got a lot of preachers in our time now that can sway a congregation, but don't live much. Help me here. Amen. Performance can be done with little or no prayer, but ministering cannot be done without prayer and without being broken. We're living in a generation now that does not understand what it means to be broken before God. Help me here. Amen. The reason that we are in camp meetings, amen, I want the Lord to help me here, amen, is to ask you to draw closer to the Lord and His cross than you've ever been before. There is a place, come on here. God said to Abraham, there is a place beside me. Amen. I want to find that place that's closer to the Lord. Amen. I'm an old farm boy. I was raised on a farm for many years. And my father was a holiness preacher. Some of you folks knew my dad. today, my father is hell, fire, and brimstone, heaven or hell. And I was raised on a farm a good bit of while daddy evangelized. There was, in those days, there was no cell phones. There wasn't even any McDonald's. Can you believe that? Living a life with no McDonald's. I tell you, my wife loves them. I don't care for them. Amen. But on a farm, we lived on a farm with a man by the name of Papa Waddell. He wasn't any kin to us, but everybody knew him by Papa Waddell. And there were some times that, you know, our neighbor on a neighboring farm, he asked Papa Waddell one day to come over and with his big tractor. He'd just got a brand new Farmall WD-9. It was a big thing them days. And it was a diesel. And it had, you old folks will remember, they had a pony gas engine that you had to start. Come on, anybody here remember those? You had to start that gas engine, then you pulled a lever, and that started the diesel engine. Boy, how times have changed. But the neighbor asked Papa Waddell if he'd come over with that big new tractor and plow up his field, and he said, yeah, said Will, said he brought, hooked up those great big plows across the back of that WD-9 Farmall tractor. I mean, it was wide, had several plows on the back of it, and went over to the neighbor's farm to plow his field up, and it all growed up, had saplings, trees in it. And he got to the gate, and Cap, who was a foreman on the farm, said, Papa Waddell said, the gate's not wide enough. Amen. Said, what are we going to do? We can't get in the field. Amen. And he looked around a little bit, and he said, see that gate post there? Pull that gate post up. Pull that barbed wire fence back. We're going into the field to plow. There's been a few times in my life, amen, I've had to have God to come in, pull up the fence post, pull the barbed wire back, and then let the Holy Ghost come into my life, amen, and break up my fallowed ground. I'm feeling better right now. Hallelujah. Now you wonder what these chairs are for. Some of you that have, that was at Brother Randy Webb's this year will know. Each chair representing a certain generation. You got the first generation, the second generation, the third generation. Then we got the little chair. Amen. The first generation was Moses and Joshua. Amen. Now I want to tell you, this first generation is vitally important. And everybody, no matter what generation you are in, you need to have a first generation experience. You don't get that first generation experience, you won't last long. Praise God. Amen. This Moses and Joshua, amen, they were the ones in the first chair. Amen. They were the ones that saw and experienced for themselves the mighty works of God firsthand. They believed. They saw it. They witnessed it. Amen. I'm feeling better right now. Praise God. Amen. You remember Exodus chapter 3, Moses on the backside of the desert. Amen. Tending his father-in-law's sheep, and all of a sudden the bush burned. Amen. We got a generation that does not understand the bush burning. But if you get an experience with first-hand experience with God, you've got to have that burning bush experience. Come on here. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. How Moses talked with God in that burning bush. God said, take your shoes off, Moses. You're on holy ground. Ah. When we come into God's house in this sanctuary, we ought to realize this is holy ground. This is not just another building. This is not a dance hall. Praise God. This is God's house. Woo! Come on here. This is God's house. You ought to come in with a prayer on your heart. Hey. Amen. Moses on the burning bush. Amen. Took off his shoes and God called him. Come on here. Oh, I thought of all the miracles that Moses performed down in Egypt. One writer said there were 42 or 45 miracles that Moses performed down there. And it was because God, amen, had an experience with Moses. Or let me rephrase that. Moses had an experience with God. Somebody say amen. 45 miracles. Amen. Oh, how come? Because he knew God for himself. Help me here. The crossing of the Red Sea. Amen. By the hand of the Lord and the guidance of God's Spirit. Amen. And above the crossing of the Red Sea, come on here, they went to Mount Sinai. And it was on Mount Sinai, praise God, that Moses had that closer relationship with God. Bible said that, come on here, amen, that God spoke with Moses face to face. Oh, if we could get that place with God, where it's not just a church service. It's not just another testimony meeting. It's not just another preacher preaching. Amen. But God, we want to get in that glorious presence. Woo! Somebody say amen. Ah, amen. And it was on Mount Sinai where the God came down and spoke with Moses and talked with him face to face for 40 days and nights. Come on here. I don't want to mess up anybody's theology here this morning, but I want to tell you, when Moses went before God, amen, he was face to face. And when he came down from the mountain, come on here, his face shone so brightly. One of the writers I read after said it was like lightning streaks that flew out from his face and countenance, and the people were afraid of him. So, come on here. So he had to veil his face, amen, to speak to the people. But when he went back to the mountain, he took the veil off. Ah, I want to tell you, we need that kind of experience with God. Not just another meeting, not just another song, amen, but a personal relationship with God to where our hearts are set aflame in fire. Amen, it was great. God, help me here. It was Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus road that, come on here. Amen. The God smote him down. Amen. And he said, Lord, who art thou? And he said, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. You find it hard to kick against the pricks. Hey. I want to tell you, if you don't have that personal relationship and experience with God, amen, it will not be long until, amen, your church will go down as a modernist. Amen. Isaiah chapter 6, he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up and sitting on a throne. Oh, God. That clock's running faster than I am this morning. But I want to tell you, there's something inside of me that cries for that personal relationship with God. Amen. I remember this been many years ago now. Many years ago. Amen. Brother led singing last night. Amen. Has been in Little Rock, north of Little Rock for a while. And our early marriage, we had two little children, small children, one of them still baby. We went to North Little Rock and tried to start a church there in the old Juroy Theater building. Now, y'all be careful. In those years, we had church every night of the year. It wasn't just a five-night revival. It was every night of the year without any rest nights. Boy, that would blow some of y'all away. Amen. Well, we tried to start that work there in North Little Rock on Conway Pike. Of course, they changed all that, tore the building down, put new highways through there. Amen. But, amen, we didn't have any money in those days. It was hard financially. Has anybody here ever had any financial trouble? It makes you appreciate the good times. Amen. And we didn't have enough money to rent a house or buy a house. That was forgotten. We lived in the upstairs office of that old theater building. Amen. And no bathtub, no shower, just a sink. Y'all listen to me? Amen. And a commode. No cook stove, just one of those electric cook. I don't even know what they call them now. Hot plates. There you go. Amen. And that's all we had to cook on. Didn't even have a bed to sleep on. Had no couch that you reached down and got a hold of the bottom, lifted it up, and amen, it made out into a bed. Amen. And one night, me and my wife would sleep on that, and the boys, amen, small as they were, would sleep on a pallet on the concrete floor. The next night, we'd change, and me and my wife would sleep on the concrete floor, and the boys would sleep on the couch. Them were rough times. We didn't have much money. Come on here. Amen. But I want to tell you, we wanted God. Anybody listen to me now? We wanted God. Amen. I never prayed for $100 to rent a house or, amen, a travel trailer or a truck. I wanted God. Help me here. I want y'all to stay with me. You got to have that first generation experience. Amen. And when the family would go to bed at night, I'd go downstairs in the darkness of that old theater building, and I'd walk back and forth across that floor on the stage, in front of the stage. Amen. A block wall there and a block wall there, and I'd pray sometime till almost daylight. Oh, God, would you visit me? Would you help me? Come on here. Amen. I've been reading about Moses on Mount Sinai. And when he said, oh God, help me here. When Moses said, Lord, I want to see you. Yeah. Amen. But he had been talking to him face to face. But he wanted more than that. He wanted, come on here. He said, I want to see you in all of your glory. In all of your power. Woo! Hallelujah. And I got to praying, walking back and forth, and walking back and forth. And I was praying, oh God. You know, we in this generation, I'm in trouble. I know I am. Amen. But we're talking about we need a move of God. Amen. I want to tell you, we need God. If we get God, we'll have a move of God. There's got to be a hunger for Him personally. Somebody say amen. And I got to praying, oh God, I want to see you like Moses. I want to have that experience like Moses. Amen. And walking back and forth, and I came to that block wall, and my hand was up in the darkness of the night. Come on here. Tears running down my cheeks. And I said, God, would you come to me? Amen. And I felt a holiness come into that building. Come on here. It was not like anything I had ever experienced. Come on here. I prayed and the glory come down in church service. But I'd never felt that holiness like I felt that night. Amen. In that old empty building. Amen. And when that holy presence hovered down in that building. Amen. I hadn't committed any sin or done wrong things. But I felt, come on here. I felt dirty. Amen. Come on here. I felt miserable. I felt little. Amen. And I prayed. And there standing against that rock wall. Amen. I felt that holy, awesome presence of God come down. Amen. And help me here. I want to tell you, amen, you never have that experience like that unless you get in touch with God. You need God. You need His power. You need His presence. You don't have to be a preacher. Come on here. If you want that kind of relationship with God, your family needs to see it in you. Your children needs to feel it and sense it in your life. Woo! Amen. We've got to have that first generation relationship with God. Now I'm going to tell you something. Amen. This first generation that has had that walk with God always establishes the standards for their Christian movement. That first generation. It's important to realize that the standards and boundaries they set up are based on what would keep them on the path that God had called them to. Yeah. I don't know. I know I'm out of my generation. I understand that. And I'm thrilled at what God's doing among our holiness people and younger men coming on. But we don't have much preaching about personal convictions anymore. Does anybody here understand the term personal convictions? I was talking to a young lady years ago in a church where we pastored. And amen, I talked to her. Come on here. Amen. Has God talked to you about this situation in your life? And she said, well, she said, I pray every time I go to bed. Amen. Come on here. I said, that ain't what I'm talking about. Amen. I said, I'm talking about, amen, when you get down to business with God and the Holy Ghost rings in your soul. Come on here. Amen. She said, well, when I go to church, I go to the altar and I pray. Amen. I said, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a personal prayer life where you get alone with God and the Holy Ghost by His Spirit and power. Amen. Come on here. Comes down inside of you and says, puts His finger on something in your life and said, you need to turn that loose. You need to quit that. Don't go there. Amen. Personal convictions, come on here, may not be spoken of directly against it in the Word of God. Come on. Amen. But the Holy Ghost knows what you love. Their convictions were determined whether or not an activity helps them to stay on the path that God wants them on. Matter of fact, it has very little to do with whether or not an activity is specifically denounced as sinful in the Bible. The entire matter is determined by whether that activity would sidetrack them from His presence. Somebody say amen. That only comes from personal prayer. Amen. We have a wonderful time when we go to church and we have prayer service and we have an altar service. Come on here. And that's all right and good and in its place it's supposed to be. But I want to tell you that does not take that personal relationship with God when it's just you and Him. Personal prayer. Where it's just you and God that deals with your heart and your life. They so value His presence and the communion with Him that nothing is worth losing that relationship over. That takes time with God in prayer. I told my church not too long ago, I said, is anybody listening to me? If I shut my eyes, I think half of you went home. Amen. I told my church at home, I said, the most critical and important group of age group in our church is our young married people. Come on here. Because they have got to, come on here. They've got to reach up with one hand. Amen. Get a hold of what their mom and daddy and their grandma and grandpas believed and hold on to it. And then they got to reach back with the other hand with their children and grandchildren and say, this is the way, walk ye in it and you shall find rest for your souls. Somebody say amen. I'm feeling better. Amen. Somebody said, how can we, come on here. How can we teach our children, amen, about spiritual things? I can tell you how. Amen. Teach them to pray. How do you teach them to pray? Come on here. There's not any Bible school in the country that I know of that's got prayer as one of their curriculum subjects. Amen. But it's something you've got to develop in order to be a victorious Christian. Somebody say amen. Amen. I said, y'all listen to me. Our children need to hear you pray. They need to see you pray. Not just at church. Come on here. They've got to see you in the closet in communion with God. Woo! I want to tell you, when you get in that, come on here, that first generation experience with God and you and Him alone, those children will come to the place, oh, I want to have what Daddy's got. I got to hurry. Time's running out here. The second generation. The Bible tells us that these elders that outlived Joshua. Joshua was of the first generation. He was there with, are y'all still with me? With Moses and saw and felt and witnessed the handiwork and miracles of God. Now, the second generation comes on. The second generation, the elders that outlived Joshua, they are the children of the first generation. Come on here. They heard the stories of what God had done back in Egypt. Amen. They heard the stories about Moses on Mount Sinai. Am I doing all right here? They heard the stories about the crossing of the Red Sea. Amen. They heard the story about Moses when he said, amen, amen. God told him to get in the crevice of the rock. Amen. And I'll pass by and I'll show you my afterglow. Come on here. That second generation heard all those stories. Amen. What God had done. And they believed it too. Amen. They really did. They embraced it. Come on here. Amen. But it wasn't the same as the personal experience with the power of God. Good. I need to be careful here probably. Could this second generation be the children that grow up in our churches? They can sing good. They can play music good. Woo, help me here. They can speak with intelligence. Thank you, brother. I need that. They become influential as they begin to grow older. Amen. They got a good personality. People like them. And eventually they become the ones that are looked up to and become leaders. Come on here. Amen. They live reasonably good. They maintain some good standards. Help me here. But they've not been to Mount Sinai. And so, to that second generation, amen. The main thrust and theme is standards. Come on here. I want to tell you, I am believing in holiness from the longest hair on my head to the longest toenail. Inside, outside, any way you want to look at it. I believe in holy living. But this sin, second generation, has never been to Mount Sinai with God. They've never been in the crevice of the rock. Amen. Or heard God speak out of the burning bush. Amen. They believe what the first generation said, but they've not had that personal power of God moving in their life. I got news for you. Woo! Amen. The power of God will develop holiness standards. But standards alone will not produce Holy Ghost power. Amen. Come on here. Standards alone only produces a lifestyle that is powerless and attracts nobody. Amen. Look at history. Amen. Anybody remember reading about the Quakers and the Shakers of bygone years? Come on here. Amen. Amen. Come on here. They are non-existent. Amen. They're out of the... Come on here. They're off of the scene. And the reason is because they had no power. They had the lifestyle. That's good preaching, Brother Savage. Amen. Because the communion and spiritual relationship through the power of the Holy Ghost is not continually updated in sincere heart-searching prayer. Amen. Those convictions become or evolve into a mere tradition without power. We've got to have power. Thank God for holiness standards. Hallelujah. But we need Holy Ghost power. We got to have that anointing. Woo! When convictions are not wrought by the Holy Ghost in committed prayer, we live by standards without any power. And then standards becomes our main thrust and theme. No power. That only becomes tradition. Ooh, help me, Lord. That's the reason. Oh, don't y'all fall out with me here. That's the reason the neo-Pentecostals and the charismatic look at our, amen, come on here, old-fashioned preaching, amen, and they say it's only tradition. It's only tradition if you have no power. It's only tradition if you have no Holy Ghost. It's only tradition if you, that's all you're interested in. I want, come on here. I want that in my life. Come on, come on. But I want the Holy Ghost power too. I got news for you. Woo! The clock's running too fast. Traditions and standards are not the problem. The problem is prayerlessness. The spiritual emphasis is lost somewhere between Joshua's death and the passing of the elders. I want to get to that little chair over there, but I don't know if I'm going to have time this morning. Notice among the elders, they were good men. They were godly men. Come on here. They lived good. They believed the words of the first generation. But they did not have that crevice in the rock. But there is no leader among the elders. I'm in trouble now. When there is no godly leader, there is always a gradual decline in spiritual living. We've got all of it takes. Come on here. We got all the standards. Come on here. Is anybody listening to me? But we've got to have more than that. We use a verse of scripture in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. And most of the time we use that for missionary service, and that's well and good. I'm not opposed to that. You listen to me. Amen. But the literal translation of that verse is, where there is no restraint, the people go wild. When there is no leader that sees where this trend is going to lead and stops it before it gets too far. Woo! Come on here. I want to tell you, we've got to have spiritual leaders. We got to have leaders that's full of the Holy Ghost. We got to have leaders that's been in that secret place with God. We got to have leaders that's been on Mount Sinai. We got to have leaders that's been in the crevice of the rock. Amen. That teaches the ways of God. Now, for the rest of the story, it's third generation here. They did not walk with God because they did not know God. This new generation sees no purpose in abstaining from something just because that's the way it's always been. Woo! Is anybody listening to me now? Amen. Without personal prayer, this generation is in no position to develop any convictions at all. They throw the door wide open because they don't know God. Amen. I remember reading Max Lucado. I don't know whether you like him or not. Don't make any difference to me. Amen. But in one of his books, he told a story. Woo! Is anybody listening? I got three of you listening. Amen. He told a story about down in the state of Florida, there was some prowlers that broke into a department store. Amen. And they broke in that store. Nobody knew they were in there. Nobody saw them come. Nobody saw them leave. They didn't take anything with them when they left. Amen. But the strange thing is, the next day that store worked through 4 hours without anybody noticing what they had done. Ooh, I'm in trouble. Amen. What they did was they went in that store and repriced everything in there. They took a $3 price tag off of a child's book and put it on an outboard motor. Somebody got a deal. Come on here. And they took that, amen, expensive price on the outboard motor and put it on a child's toy. Amen. The store opened the next day. They repriced everything in there. Amen. 4 hours it went before anybody noticed anything. Amen. It had been changed. Amen. But I want to tell you this morning, somebody's broke into our wholeness store. And they've repriced everything. Come on here. Amen. If you can slam dunk, amen, a basketball, you're worth millions. If your face is pretty, I'm in trouble here. If your face is pretty, they put you on the front page. Amen. But I want to tell you, if you live good and serve God and preach holiness, amen, you're not worth much. Amen. This, whoo, help me, Lord. This counterculture revolution of the 1960s, amen, produced the Jesus People movement. And that was closely followed by the charismatic movement. And both of those movements were countercultural, amen, to the standard the church had always lived. Am I doing all right here? Amen. Help me, Lord. The cheese, oh God. Now, don't fall out with me. I like the old songs that's got a message to it. The Jesus People movement introduced what they call Christian rock music. I got news for you. There's no such a thing as Christian rock music. Woo! Help me, Lord. There's something about that Holy Ghost power that when we come to the house of the Lord and we lift our hands and we clap our hands and we lift our voices unto the Lord, into those songs that touches the hearts of men, amen, and changes hearts. Come on here. My daddy pastored the Assembly of God Church in Leesburg, Virginia, when I was a boy. There was, amen. How many of you give me 5 more minutes here? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. I got plenty of time here. There was 2 old maids that lived in that town of Leesburg. And every once in a while, daddy would call on them to sing. They couldn't carry a tune in a bucket if they was carrying the bucket. Amen. It was horrible singing. One of them played accordion, and she would play it in G, and they would sing in F flat. Horrible to the natural ear. But them old maids had a relationship with God. Come on here. And daddy knew when they got up to sing, something is going to happen. And I've seen hard case sinners, amen, that nobody could touch by preaching. When them two women would get up and sing, glory to God. Hey, the glory of God would come down. I've seen sinners come out of their seat and hit the altars and pray through. What was it? It wasn't their singing. It wasn't their ability. It wasn't their talent. It was the Holy Ghost power. Charismatic movement convinced the church world that worldliness is acceptable. They espoused a freedom that had no boundaries whatsoever. And with time, we found our own people, holiness people, doing things that they would have never done or even discussed doing before that period of time in their life. This second generation produces the third generation. No burning bush, no Mount Sinai, no crevice in the rock. Amen. All you got is a standard. And such a gradual spiritual decline until it's not even noticed. Until it's actually happened. Now, I got news for you. I've been all over this country and halfway around the world. Amen. And I'm seeing in our wholeness movement a gradual decline for a spiritual hunger for God. Holiness now becomes an ugly word. And this third generation, amen, come on here, doesn't want to even talk to you about holy, godly living. Amen. And somewhere in the process, we lose our love for lost souls and reaching the lost for Christ. Amen, because we are more interested in our standard and our lifestyle, and we don't have that power. This lax generation mentality is, if you can't find a Bible verse that specifically prohibits, then it's okay. They totally overlook the principle of the scripture. Come in from among them, be ye separate, thus saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. There are things in people's lives every day that there is not a... There's not a particular scripture that says that's a sin. Amen. But I want to tell you, amen, we've got to have some folks that get that personal first generation experience to where the Holy Ghost gets down inside of you. Amen. And God says, leave it alone. God says, don't go there. Help me, Lord. I remember years ago, I'm not against a lot of things. People think I am. But there's a lot of things I am against. Amen. Years ago, I took my children, grandchildren to Pigeon Forge. Amen. Tennessee. Now, I know that's touchy. I understand that's touchy. Come on here. Amen. They rode the go-karts. They did some things. And one time, we went into this particular place. I don't even know what the name of it was. I could not tell you. Amen. But when I got in there with my children and my precious, precious grandchildren, the Holy Ghost smote me. Said, you don't belong in here. You don't belong in here. Where is that Holy Ghost presence among our people? Are we so far gone that we can't even feel His presence or know when the Holy Spirit is displeased with the direction our lives is going in? I went back to the motel room and I got down on my hands and knees before my children and grandchildren. I apologized to them for going there. Come on here. I lost y'all. Y'all are plumb out of sight. Amen. And then I prayed with my children and grandchildren and asked God to forgive us for going there because the Holy Ghost said, you don't belong in here. This generation fails to realize that their fathers based their activities on what would keep them with a powerhouse connection with God. And it don't take much to break that powerhouse connection. The whole rationale to this third generation of following the ancient landmarks is totally lost. And without personal prayer of power, we lose our reason for being and are become powerless church. Pentecostal church without power. Now it's become entertainment. We got our power teams. I'm in trouble. Amen. We got our socials and our films. Keep people interested in coming to the house of God. Where is the powerhouse connection? Thomas Trask. Amen. I'm going to try to hurry here because, amen, I don't want to embark on my dear brother's time. But Thomas Trask, in his farewell speech, as a general superintendent of the Assemblies of God, he stood up to that huge crowd and said this: what many churches are offering America is a new religion that guarantees no hell and requires no holiness. It is a limp, spineless Christianity that does not confront sin for fear of being judgmental. Well, am I doing all right? He said it is an impotent gospel that tells people everything is okay. Amen. And we are more concerned about people's approval than we are God's concern. Somebody has broke into our store and repriced it. Now, a little chair over there. First generation, second generation, third generation that don't even know God. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Come on here. Amen. We need a third generation to come along, and I see it transpiring. Everywhere I go, I'm seeing young people get a hunger for God. Come on here. I'm not old, but I am older. And I'm thrilled at seeing young men, amen, coming through our ranks with a message of holiness and a burden in their souls to reach for Christ. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Zell Miller wrote a book entitled The Decline of Decency. Amen. He was a senator from Georgia. Amen. And he was asked a question by one of the interviewers. Amen. They said, can we recover our decency in America? And his answer was like this. Amen. Yes, we can have a recovery if we have the will to recover. I want to tell you, church, come on here. Laodicea church, we can recover. We can have a revival. We can have a move of God. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. In Genesis 32, amen, Jacob wrestled with God. Amen. Come on here. Amen. Until the breaking of the day. Amen. He said, I'll not let you go till you bless me. Bless me. I want a blessing. Hey, hey, hey. Come on. Come on. Somebody say amen. The angel said, let me go because the day's breaking. The angel didn't care that the day was breaking. Amen. Angels had a walk with people in the daytime. Come on here. The angel wanted to know how intense and in earnest Jacob was about a move of God in his personal life. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, man, can we have an off kneel? Somebody say praise the Lord. Hey, 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 hey. Hey, man, is there somebody that God, hey, man, can reach down and get a hold of? And come on here. Off kneel, glory, glory. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost. Off kneel was the son, hey, man, Caleb's brother. Amen. Amen. God jumped over an entire generation and got a hold of a young man by the name of Othniel. Amen. The Bible said, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Woo! I want to tell you, I'm feeling it. I'm seeing it. I'm experiencing it. God's going to have some Othniels that'll come on the scene right now. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. I got to close. I'm running over time. I understand that. But I want to tell you, hey, man, Othniel wanted the same thing that Moses had in the first generation. Othniel heard the stories. Woo! I'm feeling the Holy Ghost here. Othniel heard the stories, praise God, of how Moses threw his rod down and it became a serpent. Y'all stay with me here. Amen. And Pharaoh said, that's no big deal. He called in his astrologers and soothsayers. They all threw their rods down and they became serpents. So there was a time when only, come on here. There was a time when only Moses' rod was there. Then there was a dual existence of Moses' rod and Pharaoh's rods. Amen, but glory to God. Amen, Moses said, hold on. It's not over yet. Woo!
Glory to God. And Moses and Rod slid it around on that marble floor and swallowed up all of Pharaoh's. Come on here. Until the only thing left was Moses' rod. Hey, 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 we got a worldly generation now, and it seems like there's a dual existence, but it ain't over. God's got some off meals. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and give him praise.